Kol HaLashon, the entire Torah, everywhere.
Okay, to my side, today's daf is daf Pei Hei. And we're holding at the Mishnah roughly 6-7 lines from the top of the Amud. And the Mishnah is going to continue talking about the processing of the flour. Pashup Shat in our Mishnah is talking in general for all Karbonos Mincha throughout the year. The Rashi Ksav Yad says in particular we're talking about the Karbon Oimer and the Shtei HaLechem. And we want them to be min hamuvcher, the best possible. So therefore our Mishnah says, Ein Mevi'im lo mibeis hazvolim, v'lo mibeis hashalchen, v'lo mibeis ha'ilan. If you were to go and bring the flour from a field of zvolim, zvolim means that it had to be fertilized, beis hashalchen, that this is a field that does not rely solely on rain, but requires irrigation. Pesa Ila means that the Tvua grows among trees. In all three cases, the Tvua that is going to grow there is going to be inferior and not the best min hamufcher. What's the reason why? So the Rashi on top doesn't really tell us much. It's more the Rashi down below, the Rashi Ksav Yad. He says, Lemi Beis HaZvolim, this is on the third and fourth of the wide lines. He gives two reasons. Number one, because since this field requires zevel, I was always under the impression that all fields require zevel, but because this field is called the Beis HaZvolim, apparently it needed more fertilizer than your standard regular field. So what's the problem? Says Rashi, maybe you're not going to put enough fertilizer to go and fertilize the field, and therefore what you're going to have is a product which is somewhat inferior. Or Rashi says, by putting the zevel in, some of the odor of that zevel will seep into the tvua, and when you eventually eat from it, you'll feel it. It has such a funny taste. That's because its origins were in the zevel. That's what Rashi says down below. Anyway, so that's the base as well. Base of Shalchin is simple because since this is very dry and arid land and requires a lot of irrigation, we're afraid that the product, the produce, are not going to come out as supple, as full as you would normally have it in a field that relies solely on rain, which means, there's lots and lots of water. The Beis HaShalchan is in a dry area where there is not enough water, so therefore the produce is not going to be as good as elsewhere. Beis HaIlan, Rashi says, two reasons. The Rashi above says the reason why Beis HaIlan, because the Ilonais Uisim Lotzeil, it makes a lot of shade and shadow in the field, and so therefore the Tvua doesn't get the benefit of the sun. And that's why it's not good. Rashi Ksav Yad down below says the reason is because you have a competitor that is the Yonek Min HaKarka, and that are the trees, that they are taking the nutrients and the minerals from the Karka, and they're not leaving all of them for the produce. Therefore, that's the reason why it's considered to be inferior. L'chatchila, you're supposed to bring Min HaMuvcha. So the mission in Haiti, but the other, if you brought not Min HaMuvcha, it's also kosher. Now this is, if you will, a shtickel chiddush that we're saying imhevi is kosher, because as you remember, yesterday we had in the Gemara
Kol HaLashon,
we had Ula and we had Rabbi Yochanan that both said that legami bikurim, if it's not min hamuvchar loy kiddush, it doesn't get kiddushes bikurim. Yes, we had other mandiyamas in the Gemara that disagreed with both Ula and Rabbi Yochanan, but the point is, this machloikis is only the gabi bikurim, that if it's not mina mufcher, if it's tamorim shibahorim or peder shibah mokim, say Ula and Rabbi Yochanan loy kiddush, even b'di'evet. Our Mishnah says that's the higher standard of bikurim, because bikurim is the very first fruit, and the farmer wants to say to Bnei Yisrael, thank you, look at these gorgeous, wonderful, beautiful, delicious fruits. And if you're going to bring second-class fruits, that's not right. That's not the way you show your gratitude to Kadosh Baruch Hu. regarding everything else, like in Menachis, Yavada, Mitzman, and Mubcher, Gemara said, Rashis, Tirchem, should be talking the best. But the Diyamid, if you did it, if you had second class, when Beis Volim, Beis Shlochem, Beis Ilam, is all kosher. Now, Kate and Oysa, what's the best way? And yeah, I'm saying that halach of yesterday was only gabi bikurim, but kuli al lemoidem. When we're talking about mincha, it doesn't rise to that same level, and therefore, even a kosher b'yochanan, it will be kadosh b'diavad. It would be a good kosher b'diavad.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Continuing the gemara of mishta vayter, keitzer oyter. Now you want to make sure that the flour that is produced, that's going to be used for the menochets and the oimer and the shtei alechem, should be the best. So the best way of doing it is the following. Okay, to the oisa nora shana rishayim. Go and take a field, and for the first year, nora is for the lotion of plowing. Plow it and leave it fallow. Don't let anything grow in that field. By leaving it fallow, it has a chance to regenerate all of its nutrients and all of its minerals, so that by the next year, it's going to be that much stronger. Uvashana shniya, now in the second year, zoira, go and plant it. And before we continue, you'll see in the Gemara is going to ask, do you have to do a second nora in the second year? Is it enough to do the nora only in the first year, or should one do a nora in the second year? And when we get to the Gemara, we will see that kuli alma moida, that before you go and do your normal planting, you always do a standard harisha, standard plowing. The reason why you do a standard plowing is more or less obvious. And that is, you want that the seeds that you're planting should get into the land. If you're not going to go and plow the land first, then the seeds are just going to stay on the surface of the land and they're not going to penetrate into the land. So you always have to do that last minute harisha before your zriya. The Gemara's shaila is going to be, do you do a preliminary nora even before that? So let's assume for argument's sake that the best time to go and plant, the Gemara says 70 days before. Let's make it easy. That's when you're planting your tefillah. So the nora means in the summer before that, when everybody is having a good time during the summer months, then do a nice, good, thorough plowing, and leave it fallow for the first year. Now we're going to have the Gemara Shaila, the second year, we're going to start planting Lemoshel and Kislev, or whenever, you know what you're supposed to do. Do you do a second Nora during that summer season? Or, forget about it, I did it already the previous year, the Sheminuk. And I only have to do the plowing right before the actual planting. So that's going to be discussed in the Gemara momentarily. So Keturoisa, what do you do? Nora Rosh Harishayin, in the first year, you do a full plowing and leave the field fallow. Ubashana Shli, and I'm sorry?
Did they say Tammuz? He's doing this in Tammuz.
Yes, Tammuz, right? Tammuz, summertime. Correct.
Yeah.
Ubashana Shli, and now in the second year, again, the Mishnah doesn't directly say yes or no with Gabi the Nora, but we'll see about that in the Gemara. Zoyra koinu lepasach, go and plant it, not early, ichweis, tishrei, cheshvan time, push it off before Pesach Shivim Yoyim. Why is it a good idea to push it off towards Pesach Shivim Yoyim? Says Rashi, so that you get the maximum amount of sun on this piece of land during the cold winter month. It's cold. When you're coming 70 days before Pesach, things are starting to warm up. You might not realize it when you're walking outside today, that we are now in the middle of Pesach, it's supposed to be warm. You might think we're in the middle of Chanukah time, but azoy is this. So you plant 70 days before Pesach, and then and that is going to be not only good quality, but good quantity, tons of sites. Now, Kesed Boidik and Gizboro, Kesed Boidik. Remember we said that the Oimer and the Shtei Alechem and the Mincha have to come from Minupa. Minupa means that it was well sifted, so that you have good flour, good sifted flour. How can you go and tell that this flour is taka top quality? Then the gizbar machnas yodel etoichan, the gizbar of the Beis HaMikdash, he should put his hand into the flour, all the ba'ovak psula, as he takes his hand out, If it's full of flour dust, then it's possible. Until he does another nipoy, meaning yet another time that you sift it through the sieve. So what's the problem with avok? So the Rashi down below says that's kemach dak de geruahu. If you really want the kemach to go and stick and make a nice mincha, what you have to do is should have some thickness. Here you've done apparently too much nipoy until what you have within your solas. You have this kemach dak, which you have to remove. How do you remove it? He put his hand in, he says, oh, go and do a new nipoy to get it out, another sifting. The misliya, says the Mishnah. What happens is the problem was not that it was avak, but rather hisliya, that unfortunately this flour had tiloim, worms in it. Sula, then it's wormy, exactly, then it's fossil. You don't even have to be boidic. As soon as you see your first worms, just throw the whole thing out. Okay. Each one of the halachas of the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to explain in detail. We start off, Ketzad Oiseh, Nora Shadarishayim. You go and do that plowing and leave it fallow the first year. Ibailu, Heiko Amar, Nora Shadarishayim, Ushnia, Nora Vizayra. Do you say that first you have to have that plowing during the summer months, during the Shadarishayim? And now in the next year, when you're going to start planting it, again, Nora, go and plow it thoroughly during the second summer. And only subsequently, when it gets 70 days before Pesach, then you're going to do a quickie, a new harisha right before the planting, the zoira, and then you're going to go and plant. Maybe it's not necessary to go and do a thorough plowing again in the field the second year, because after all, you already did in the first year and you left it fallow. So our Mishnah doesn't address it directly. So now, the reason why I think the Gemara has this Shaila is because if you go back to the Lashon HaMishnah, the third and fourth line, it says, Keteru Oisa, Norishan Rishaina, Uboshan Shnia, Zoira Koin Lepesach. Lechoira, one should be poishit easily, that since the Mishnah just says Nora Shana Shaina, it doesn't say that Shnia Nora, it just said Bashana Shnia Zoira, the Shaila of the Gemara is a little bit difficult. However, the Shita Mekubet says has a different girsa in the Mishnah, he takes out Uvashana, that's the base there in the Shita. So therefore, the Mishnah says, Ketzel Oisa Nora Shana Rishaina Ushnia Zoira Koidim LePesach. How is this better than our Girsa? Because the question is, where do you put the punctuation? You can go and say, Uvashana Shnia, start again. Ketzer Oisa, Nora Shana Rishoina, Ushnia, go and do your Shana, your Nora, both in the first year, and Uvashnia in the second year, and subsequent to that, Zoira Koinam LePesach Shimam Yoim. Oh, so then you attack, have to do two Noras. One not in the Shadri Shaina, Uvashniya, and in the second year. And only after that second Nara, that Zoyda Kerm the Pesach. Or, Kate to the Wise, another Shadri Shaina, full stop, only the first year you do a Nara, Uvashniya, Zoyda Kerm the Pesach, Shivim Yai. So I think that that's why the Shita's Girsa is better than ours, because it lends itself to both interpretations as to whether Uvashniya is referring only to the Zoira, or it's referring back to the Nara, Daf Pei Hei Omer Aleph. See, Boi Lunachon, the second line of the Gemara. Heichik Omer, Nara Shen Rishayna, Ushniya Nara B'Zoira. So you do a double Nara, one in Shen Rishayna, one in Shen Rishayna. Or you do a Nara Shen Rishayna, period. Ushniya Zoira B'Loi Nara. It's Toshim Adesai. The Braisa addresses this. Omer Rav Yosi, Afchite Karzai, Ukvar Achim, the Moli Smuchs in Yerushalayim, or Yemuziyim Mehem, the Fisha Ein Medina, so Imre Elimin Asodois, Hamudromois, Baham Minu Norais, Lekach. What is this all about? So we're starting off, before we address our Shaila, Rabbi Yossi is telling us that there were two places in Eretz Yisrael, Chita Kerzayim and Kfar Achim, where in those two places, there was plenty of sun, and they were on the mountains, so they got closer to the sun, they were not in the valleys, and those would have been among the best places to bring from them the produce, the flour, for the Karban Oimer, for the Shteh Lechem, for Karban Mincha. So Dr. Ilmole, Smuchas Yerushalayim, if they would be closer to Yerushalayim, Hayimedim Mehan, we would go and bring from them. Because we're very machbit to go and bring the Oimer from the Sodas Madramis, Madramis from Malosh and Doroim, and Dorim over here means that there's a lot of sun, as we know in the south of Eretz Yisrael, south of North America, and South America, there's more sun as you get closer to the equator, etc. So then there is much more sun, and when the sun is Madramis, Bahamanu Noris, that's Malosh and Nora, that they are well plowed, and they left them fallow thereafter. Shebehen chamadirachas, because there in these sodesh madromis menunorais is plenty of sun. Chamadirachas mehen chamashikas, meaning that in the morning as the chama is zereach netzachama, you already feel the effects of the sun on the field. You don't have to wait until midday to start to, oh, it's so hot, the sun is out. No, the chama shone on them already early in the morning, and the chama would be shekia at the time of sunset. The sun was also still there. In other words, it's constantly exposed to the sun, and therefore that produced the best possible produce. Okay, so that's a review. He said these would be the best places to go. So why taka didn't they bring? Because they were far away. Nusavos is that they were far away. So Rashi says two pshatim. One pshat is because when you're going and bringing them, then the let's see Rashi. Imali smuchas Yerushalayim. It's Rashi looking to Rashi down below. Which is roughly 10-12 lines into the wide lines. Imali smuchas Yerushalayim. Shoyim baharim, because the Yerushalayim is having harim around them, and these the barzim, the kvar achim, those were also in the harim in the mountains. Kedoshim Yerushalayim harim sabula. Because they are closer to the sun. They're higher up, they're not down in the valley. They have the exposure to the sun much, much longer throughout the day. So that's, so had they been closer to Yerushalayim, and they would have the benefit of the heat from the sun, those would be the best. Ah, mitzvah mukh. However, it says Rashi Lishna Achrina, in Moli Smush Yishlayim, they mavir nala mitzvah, kilamin of perek revishma. Another reason why they would bring them is not only because of the fact that they were mufcha, taka, the shemst and the besta, but also because they mavir nala mitzvah. So if you have a good tzchayra over here, why should you go to far away tzchayra? So if they would be close to Yishlayim, we would grab those and use them for purposes of the oimer, etc. So getting back to our Gemara, now addressing our Shaila, Ketzer Oisa, how did they produce the good flour? Shon Nora Shon Rishoyim, like we said. Ushnia, and now in the second year, Choyrish Vishoyna, all directly on point. In the second year, they would do two Charishes. One was the summer Charish of the Nora, and they would leave it fallow for a few months. And then shortly before the actual planting, Vishoyna, and he repeats it another time. And then he planted it, because so that throughout those 70 days, it's already, we're close into, well, not mamish in the spring, we're 70 days before Pesach, but at least it's not as cold and there's more sun than there is early on in the winter season, so that they should be as close to the chama as possible. And if you do that, the oyster, you're going to have a lot of hatzlacha, your kana, your stalk is going to be zeref. Zeres, as you know from the choshen that was worn by the Kohen Gadol, Zeres orka b'zeres rochba, Zeres is a half of an amma. The Chazal tell us Zeres is measured from your pinky all the way to your thumb when they're stretched out. So that's considered to be a half an amma. So the kana, the stalk, is going to be a half an amma. The shiboylis and the kernel of wheat or of tzvua at the top will be Zerasayim, will be two Zerases, in other words, the equivalent of an Amma, which is a huge, huge amount. And what are you going to do after that? Because you're going to harvest it. Amer, you're going to go and bundle it together. Vidosh, and then you're going to thresh it. Vizoyda, and then you're going to winnow it. Uboyra, then you're going to go and choose the nice tzchoyra from among the chaff, v'toichin, and then you're going to grind it, umarakid, then you're going to sift it, and now you're going to have a good, beautiful product of soles, and umaydi eitzel gizvah, where you go and bring it to the gizvah and say, gizvah, I want to bring this for my korban mincha, or if this is of the tzibur, we want to bring it for the korban o'omer, or for the shtei halacha. The gizvah machnas yod l'toichin, the gizvah puts his hand in, if he takes it out and sees, hey, there's so much dust over here. We don't mean dust stamped from the belt, we mean flour dust. Put it back in the sieve, in the filter. Why? Because it's just too much dust. And Rashi said before that kemach dak vigaruhu, that's inferior. We want this to be the best quality solace. So before we continue on, we've already been pushing our shaila, that in this bright it says very clearly, first year, nora, second year, choyrish v'shoyg, he does it twice, which means he does the same nora as he did in the first year, that's during the summertime, and then shortly before the zriya, shoyg, he does another charisha to be able to, that the seeds should go and go into the land and not sit there on top of the surface. And now the bright...
Not the
Shidim Akubesis
and what he just
Yes, please. What does he say?
No, but I'm saying what we quote in the Mishnah, the Shidim Akubesis seems is his Bishah was just that seem to us just that you plowed it once. Isn't that the much more so?
I mean, that's what we you're talking about that it says in the Mishnah we took out the word of Hashana?
Yeah.
The Mishnah itself is inconclusive because you can read the Mishnah two ways. Kate and Oyce, are you with me in the Mishnah? How does he do it?
Yeah.
You can learn it Nora Shana Rishoina Ubishniya, do a Nora in the first year, and then repeat it and do a Nora in the second year. That's one way of learning it, and that would tell you, yes, you have to go and do a. When we say Nora, it's not just plowing it, it's plowing and leaving it fallow. You do that the first year, and you do that again the second year, you plow it during the summer months, leave it fallow for several months, until you plant it in the planting season. Shortly before that planting, you're going to go and do a minimal type of charisha to allow for the seeds to go being dropped into the land. And then the Mishnah continues in Zayda Kaima Pesach. You don't have to go and specify that second charisha because it's part of the Zriya. Anytime you go and do a planting, you always do a charisha right before that because otherwise then the seeds are not going to go into the property. So that wasn't the shaila. The shaila was that second summer, do you also do your full-fledged Nora or not? So if you learn Nora Shem Rishayna Uvishniya, then it's a Simon Yitak, you have to do both. And that's what the Brisa said. Or the other way of learning, according to the Shita, would be Nora Rishayna Rishayna. You only do it the first year. Uvishniya. And the second year, you do your customary quickie Harisha right before the Zriya, and then Zoyra Kernel Pesach. But you leave out that second Nora. By the fact that the Brisa spells it out, Chodesh Vishoyna is a chassim, no, you need that taka, that second Nora once again, Vishoyna, and then you repeat it shortly before the Zriya. Okay? Now the Brisa continues and says that there's a shtikl machwekis about this gizbor with the ovak, that according to the Tanakhama, if there is ovak or avak, that you have the dust, that you have to go and be menapa, sieve it, filter it again. No, that's not necessary. What the gizbar should do is tachi other shemen. He should first put on shemen on his hand, and that shemen should be like a shtikl adhesive, just like today. Anybody that uses hand cream and the like, sometimes you have hand cream that after a few seconds it gets absorbed into the hand, but sometimes you feel it, you know, for the next 5 minutes, and you say to yourself, I want to get rid of this shemen already. So he has the shemen on his hand, and he puts it into the soles. By the time he pulls his hand out, it's all full of dust from all sides, and there's no avak left because he did a good job by having all the avak adhere, attach itself to his hand, and you don't have to do a new filtering. Okay, so we've now concluded the whole Braitha, and now the Gemara says, Ketani Nias, Chodesh V'Shoina. So it says very clearly in the Braitha, so I can be poshted from the Braitha, that L'Choya, that's the same pshat in the Mishnah. Frank Gemara, what's the right? V'Litamech, Masdi Zaloi Ketani Shoina, Braitha Ketani Shoina. Eshe Pung Faket, Maybe, in fact, you have a right that it's a machlokes. Since our Mishnah leaves out, and this is what Brother Shai was pointing out a moment ago, that even with the Shita, it only refers to Nora one time. It doesn't say Nora Vishoina or Chayrish Vishoina. It just says Nora Shana Rishoina. Vishnia, fine. But it doesn't say that we repeat the Nora yet again. So maybe, Taka, you only have to do one in the first year, one in the second year. You don't get the benefit of two in the second year. So maybe it's Taka Machloik. Everything one way kasha doesn't nishver. Why not? Kan babuda, kan bisha ein avuda. What means avuda and ein avuda? We're only talking about this property, this field in which you have done a nora in the shana rishona, and then a possible nora in the shana shniya. Says the Gemara, we didn't talk about the history of this property. What happens? Yankel just bought the property now, but it's been lying fallow already for a number of years. Why? Because the mocher was no longer interested in being in this business of farming. So he already did an avuda. Avuda means he did the avoda of the charish already 3 years ago, 5 years ago. And now the new kone, the new lokeach, of course it doesn't have to be a mocher lokeach. But the point is that it could be that this was already nora or idua already 5 years ago, 2 years ago. So now we decided, oh, I want to get some hachnosa from this field. Let's go and plant tua. We'll make a mitzvah a lot of dough. If Shavi were here, he would tell us dough is a pun. You make a lot of dough with the flour. You make a lot of dough, you make a lot of money. So says our Gemara, if in fact it was a vuda from previous years, and now, oh, we now have our decision, we're going to go and plant over here. So you nora shana rishana. And in the second year, you don't have to do a double nora. One is enough because I rely on the old avuda from years ago. That's our mission. The Brisa that said, no, make sure in the second year you do as a double nora, one during the summer and one quickie right before the Zriya. Oh, that's talking about ein avuda. In other words, that this property has been used now for years and years and years. We want to get the best possible crop. What we do is you leave the property fallow for a year. What do you do then in that year that leaving it fallow? First year, go and do a nice plant, a nice plowing to make it nice and geschmack. Then the next year, says our Mishnah, go and do another nora, but you don't have to do a nora mita choydishnia. Well, I'm sorry. Since it's an Eina Avuda, then you have to do Taka Nora during the summer, and then another Harisha prior to Uzriah. So bottom line is, the Mishnah and the Braisa can both be consistent. Just the question is, what was the history of this field previously? So to my Havi Allah, okay, these Pshatim sound great. Bottom line is, what's Taka the Halacha? Toshimah Asan, you have another Braisa. Near Chetia Bezareya Chetia, near Chetia Bezareya Chetia. Now we're already introducing something that we didn't talk about before, and that is, after all, every farmer wants to make money. Every businessman wants to make money. You don't want to be in business and just run around all day and not make any money. What did the Gemara say before? That the person who plants and he's koitza and he sells for the same price, tagra ikri, he's called a merchant, and you got to make money. So what's the best thing to do? You have your field, and near chetia, leave half of it plowed and fallow, and go and plant the second half. And Mitzvah, you'll have that crop of the second half. The next year, near Chetia, again go and do a near. Although it says Chetia, Rashi says, you're Nora Kula, and then what do? You leave it fallow, that half of the property, and now you plant the other part that was the near from before. In other words, you take your property and you split it in half. One in year one, you do Nora for everything, for sure, and then you leave half of it fallow, and the other half you go and do as Ria, so at least you get 50% of the property is producing income. The following year, you repeat again, but now you do a rotation, and that is, you go and do a Nira again of the entire property, but the second half that you were Zareya in the previous year, You leave it fallow this year, and the property that was previously fallow the previous year, you go and plant it this year. The point is that since it says this nir chetzi, and again nir chetzi, which Rashi interprets to mean nora kula, so it's a chasimah that every single year you always have to have a full-fledged nora, and of course by the zriya you would have prior to that that shona, that additional chalisha to help add in the zriya. So therefore the Gemara wants to conclude, bottom line is that you do have to do a double nora year one and year two, and then you have to do again the chalisha prior to the zriya. This is what a follow-up when we had in the Braisa, that you want to get from a soda which is mudremes. Mudremes means that you have the exposure of the sun because it's Doray, it's in the south. And Rashi says, when we say mudremes, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's such a far away in the south. It means that it could also mean that it is on the top of the mountain, or close to the top of the mountain, where it gets the benefit of the sun at all times, as if it was in Doray, Shebehem Chamazirachas, Umehem Chamashikas, that in the morning when you have the Netzachama, you look around, I don't see the sun so well because it's concealed by the trees, by buildings. After half an hour, now I finally see the sun. In these places, these Mudramois, by definition, because they were on top of a mountain, or they were in the Dorim where you have plenty of sun. So in the morning you already saw the sun, and the sun was already shining and beating down on them early in the morning. And when it comes to sunset, the sun is still there, so they get tons of sun, and that's why the produce comes out so much better. Tanya Mihok, we learned the Braisa, Abishol Oimer, Hoyibomi, Bikas, Dates, Makle, Mikle. They used to bring the Oimer from that value-based Mikle, which is Kibas, Gimuso, and Hoysa, which was an area of three soin, who saw the mudremes oisa, the important thing that it was mudremes, meaning that it was exposed to the sun, ubo chamas erachas, imina chamas shekaz, like we said a moment ago, nir chetzi v'zerei chetzi, nir chetzi v'zerei chetzi. Once again, every year they did a rotation, where half of it they left fallow, and half of it they planted, and the next year they made a switch the other way around, and they went and did the other side that was previously fallow, they planted, and the other side which was previously planted, they left fallow. Why does the Braisa tell us that this Bikas Beis Makla was Kibat Gimu Soin? Presumably what he's telling us is, in a subtle way, you'll remember back, we had a Mishnah, I think it was Ayin Vav on the Beis, where was that Mishnah? Very good, beautiful, beautiful. If you go back to Ayin Vav Amud Beis, you have the Mishnah towards the top of the Amud, the two Mishnayos, there, three Mishnayos. The Mishnah that you're referring to was even earlier than that, where we had a Machlokes 3 and 5, depending on whether it was on Shabbos or during the week. Absolutely right. This Mishnah goes according to Matniyama that 3 was always sufficient. Ha'omer ha'yaba isorim nishol isorim. For carbon oimer, you only have to start off with soin, three soin, and that's enough. After all of the grinding and the pressing and the winnowing and the threshing and everything that you did, then you would able to make out one isorim from sholi soin. So therefore, that's presumably what Abishol is telling us is, once I had this field in the Bikas Beis Makla, I didn't need to go anywhere else because it was a baskim soin. It was the size of three soin. So I had all my tzchari that I needed from this one field. I didn't have to collect for Yankov, from Beryl, and from Shmerel. This one place had enough for the entire thing. Rav Chilki Bartuvi Havali Karna the Ara. Karna the Ara means like a corner piece of property, a corner field. Again, near Chetzia, Vezora Chetzia, near Chetzia, Vezora Chetzia. Va'ovda Al Chatzrei. And therefore he was able to go and produce double the amount. And then he sold the chitim, meaning the grain, the smida, for the shens. The smida is a reference to like triple A flour. So when a farmer or any planner who's not familiar with this sees a field, he says, hey, you nuts, every single year I shall leave half of it fallow, I'm only going to have 50% of the income, because half of it you're not even planting. Says the Gemara, no, when you become more experienced, you'll learn that because of the fact that you left that half of the field fallow, it's going to produce both bekamas and eches double the next year, because it will, the Kadosh Baruch Hu will have restored all the minerals and the nutrients to the property through the sun and through the fact that it had a chance to rest. Gishmak, just like l'havel a person. The person doesn't rest, he's constantly working, working, working. Eventually, he becomes very tired and the work product is not so gishmak. If he rests at this level, then it goes, and Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him naya koiches. Same thing to the land, l'havdol also gets naya koiches, let it be fallow for a year, and then you'll see chatrei, double the amount. Fine. Then we said at the end of the Mishnah, Yisliya, if you ever find that the flour has toiloyim in it, it's psula, it's possible. Turn around. So this is Yisliya, ruba psula. If you find that roiv of it has toiloyim in it, in other words, you see that there are parts of the soilus where I don't see any tulaim. If roiv of it is tulas, is psula. The whole thing is possible. Even though theoretically I can go and take, you know, a spoon, a ladle, and try to separate between one and the other. No, no, no. Once roiv of it is tulas, it's wormy, just throw the whole thing out. Psula. V'chitim shehesliu ruban psulais. Now we're not talking about the soilus, we're talking about the chitim, the actual stalks of wheat. If they were hesliu ruban, it's possible. And now we have Rabbi Yirmiyah, a very famous Rabbi Yirmiyah, boy Rabbi Yirmiyah, b'roiv chita oy b'roiv tzor. When you measure hisliu ruban, how do you measure? Do you measure all of the chitim together? So the mushal, if you have a tzor of chitim, which is quite a large quantity, so now you see the mushal in a tzor you have, let's say, 50 stalks of wheat, and you find that 26 of them have toiloyim. Oh, we just said no. It's Leo Ruben Psula, the whole thing is possible. 26 out of the 50. But the other 24 seem to be fine. No, no, no. Stay tuned to Brisa. She just Leo Ruben Psula. That's one way of learning. Or maybe Beroy Chita, that means in every individual stalk of wheat, go and examine it. Where are the worms? Are worms are so overwhelming that they're the roiv of the individual stalk? Well, no, it's a mishkabel. Look, it's only on the bottom of the stalk. I can cut it off, and the rest of it I can go and use it, and simulin, go and grind it, and pound it, and make from it flour. So where's the roiv? The individual stalk, or is in the entire quantity? Teiku tishbi atat. Boy, Rava Reita Zashayla, and you're going to find that this Shayla of Rava we're going to have twice today and one time tomorrow. Boy, Rava, Hikdishan Maush Yilk Alein Mishum Balmu. Our Gemara doesn't really tell us the whole story, but Rashi tells us that in Miyat Hashem, when we learn Masechtas Tmura, we're going to find that there's going to be a Mishnah and a Gemara over there. They're going to say that a person who is Maktish, a Balmum Lamizbeach, he's over on five Lavin. When you want to be Maktish, Lamizbeach, we're not talking make. He's trying to go and do Kedushas Damim. He wants to infuse an animal with Kedushas Aguf and says, this animal I'm going to bring for an oil, I'm going to bring for a shlomen, chatas, osher, whatever it happens to be. And afterwards we determine that it's a balmum. Presumably this person didn't know that it was balmum, otherwise he wouldn't want to be oiler. But if he knew that it was a balmum and he was makdashit, oil b'chamisha lavin, five lavin or b'chamisha. So here too, that's got to be animals. What happens if you're maktish soilis mitula'as, which has in it the worms, which we already said, it's possible. Is that also considered to be a balmum? Hey, look at the flower. Look at all those worms. It's a balmum. It's boyerava. Hikdishan ma'ashi yukal mishan balmum. Kim in the pasal, since we're saying that once it's soilish hisliya, is psula, it's like a balmum, and therefore you should get the malchus. You should have to be even the five lamin. Maybe the whole concept of balmum. Balmum means that there's a real blemish. We don't mean that there's a foreign worms that are infiltrated into the flour. We're talking about balmum. So it's more teiku, chvaistakanish, whether you be over a lav or not. Certainly, we're not going to take this soilus hisliya. It's possible. It's not good. But if I was maktish, it is a shayla la'alocha, whether or not you're over on that lav or not. Tananach. We're going to develop the same idea momentarily. You have two types of eitzim that you use for the mizbech. One is the shnei gizrei eitzim that you use every single morning, which is the base of the fire on the mizbech of the marocha to go and burn all your carbon oilis and all of your aymarin, and of course the kamitza from your carbon mincha. If you find such an eitz which has telas, which has in it worms, pasul gam izbeach. So that's one type. But we've also learned before that you could be menadim,
it's
called a carbon eitzim. Once again, your menadim eitzim to put on the mizbeach. Guess what? If you find that it has a telas in it, pasul gam izbeach. You're not allowed to use it. If you recall, the Gemara elsewhere tells us that what did the Kehanim, which who were Bali Mumin, what did they do? Unfortunately, they could not do the Avodah because they're Bali Mumin. So they used to go and inspect all of the Eitzim in the Lishkasa Eitzim. Obviously, not every single day did they start chopping down trees to go and bring an Eitzim. Rather, they did it during the summer when it's nice and dry, so that all of the Eitzim would dry out. And remember, Chamish Usa Ba'av, that's when they stopped cutting the Eitzim L'Maracha, because from that time on, the days started getting cooler. And that was one of the major reasons, Chamish Usa Ba'av, because the woodcutters stopped cutting the wood, because it's no longer that hot, hot sman, but rather it's going to start getting cooling off, and therefore we're afraid that any new wood that's going to be chopped would be full of worms. And Bali Mum and Kehanim throughout the year, every day when they took Shnei Gizra Eitzim, first you had the Kehanim Bali Mum checking out to see whether or not the Eitzim had Teloim in it. Okay, so if you find that it does have Telas, pass. Omish Shmuel Eishanu El Lach Avli Yovesh Goyeroi V'Kosha. Says Shmuel, if it's not a moist piece of wood and it has Teloim in it, there's no way to salvage this wood. But if it's already dried out wood, in other words, it's been lined in the Lishkas Atloim for a month or two, and it's dry like a bone, and you find some tilum, no problem. Just go and take a good sawdust remover, a good knife, or a good chopper, and go and scrape it off, and you find you got rid of all of those tilum, and then it's kosher. Same shail again, boy rabba. Boy rabba is another girsa. Higdishoy, maushi yilka lemishabalma. What happens if I was maktish? Eitzim l'marocha, I want to use it for the Shnei Gizri Eitzim, I want to use it for Korban Eitzim, and you went and you knew that it was a Bal Mum, and you were Makdish it anyway, keep the Pasuk of Bal Mum Dami, and therefore you get the Malkis, like we said, that you're, when you Makdish a Behema Bal Mum, or you don't aim Bal Mum, but Behema. So the identical Shalom that we asked a moment ago by the flower, we're asking the same Shalom now, Legabe, the case of the Eitzim, in both cases, says the Gemara Teiku Tishbi Atatz. And we're going to have a similar Shaila tomorrow in Miyat Hashem, Legabe Shemen. And since we're talking about Shemen, let's start the new Mishnah. We kept on saying that you want to get the very best flour for your Karban Mincha, for the Oymen, Shtei Alechem, the same thing as Legabe Shemen. After all, you use Shemen for the Menachis as well. The Shemen also has to be Tata. So Tekoya, which is the name of a city in Eretz Yisrael, Alpha Leshemen. Remember, we had Alpha in the previous Mishnah, also talking about that's the best, like the Aleph, the first of the alphabet. This is the best for the Shemen. Abishol Oimer, Shniyelo Regev Eber Yarden. If you couldn't get from Tekoya for whatever reason, or you needed more, go to Regev Eber Yarden. They also have top notch Shemen. But Shniyelo, it's already second. You can go and bring Shemen from anywhere, on the Kanayim Medim, but they used to bring from these because that was the top quality. But like we learned in the previous Mishnah, don't bring from a farm, a field that you had to go and fertilize, either like the Rashi said before, because maybe there won't be enough fertilizer, therefore it'll be shvach, or because maybe when you taste the Shemen, there'll be a smell, there'll be a bit of an odor. The same thing applies Beis Hashlochem. Don't put from a field that requires artificial irrigation. That means it's a dry land, so it's not going to produce the best olives. Also not from those olive trees from a field where there is tvua growing between the trees. We had this in the previous Mishnah, that if the tvua grows between the trees, then they're going to put shade and shadow on the tvua, and therefore the tvua won't be exposed to the sun, and therefore it's going to be shvach tvua. Or the other pshat that we said is, because there's going to be competition between the trees and the tvua in terms of absorbing the minerals and the nutrients from the land. So our Mishnah is telling us it works both ways. Don't go and take the tefuah from there for purposes of making flour because it's inferior. And the olive trees in this type of situation where you have tefuah growing among it, because that tefuah saps away some of the minerals and nutrients, so the olives also are not going to be top quality. So don't bring from those lechatchila. The mevi, the diabet is kosher. And also a mevi and afikton. Well, there's another yes, anfiknon. What exactly is anfiknon? We're going to have tomorrow in the Gemara three pshatim. Tim Havian, if you brought this anfikton, b'diavad it's kushin. Cheskele, don't bring it, b'diavad it's kushin. Ein mevi min ha-gargaran shenoshu b'mayim v'loy min ha-kvoshim v'loy min ha-shlukim. What does that mean? Gargaran means individual olives, shenoshu b'mayim, that they soaked in water, or kvushim, which means that they were pickled, like in vinegar, like if you want to pickle cucumbers and make pickles out of it. And not if it was cooked. Presumably the reason why the person did it was to extract as much shemen as possible. Says our Mishnah, Nishgit, if you want to go and produce good shemen, don't soak it, don't pickle it, and don't cook it. Then if you did, possible this becomes so deficient and so inferior, you can't use it for shemen in the Beis Mikdash. And from here now to the bottom of the Amid, we're going to have a bissel of an agadat. First we start in the Mishnah, Tekoya was out for the Shem. It says in the Pasuk, V'ishlach Yoyev Tekoya, V'ikach Misham, Isha Chachama. Yoyev wanted to go and get a very wise woman, and he sent to Tekoya, and he found a woman that everybody said, oh, she has Azuiful Chachma. Why did he send Tekoya? Why didn't he send somewhere else? And Rabbi Yechim, it's a Shurigilim Hashem, Zayis, Chachma Metzuyah Behem. What the Gemara is telling us is, remember, since the Gemara Mesechtis Hoyriyos, that someone who's Rogel B'Shemen Zayis, that person that develops a lot of wisdom, that is very good for the mind, to have Shemen Zayis. So you're going to ask, why don't you find that people that are Makbid and Shemen Zayis today, how come they're not the greatest Chachamim Unevoinim? So some say, because Nishtana Hateva over the years, we say that by virtually all the things that you find in various Gemaras, don't eat this and eat that and eat that and not eat this because they're not good for the body, whatever. And the Rambam says that those rules in the Gemara no longer apply because Nishtana Teva, so it could be because of that. Others say that the reason is because the Shemen Zayis that we have may not be on the same level of the Shemen Zayis that we're talking about. After all of the oil that is sold today, just like all other things, they're distilled and they're homogenized and pasteurized and processed and who knows what type of chemicals and additives and preservatives and the amtsamasa that they put in. So that could stunt the Shema. I don't know that you do pasteurization, homogenization on anything but milk. But you understand what we mean is that for government regulations and to keep the Shema for the processing, you want that the Shema should remain, you don't want it to go and spoil. So they do so much processing, could be that this of the Shemen Zayis, the Chachma, maybe gets lost in the mix, so to speak. Okay, anyway. They're different grades. I was not too long ago on one of these Jewish tours. They took us to a Jewish-owned olive factory, and the mashgiach over there, who was very, very familiar with the whole process, he said that the different levels of olive oil throughout the country is huge in terms of the quality. The average individual that was there in the tour, we looked at it, they all looked the same. He said, oh, no, this is AAA and this is ZZZ and everything in between. And it had to do with how they planted it and how they filtered it and how they harvested it. There's much more to it than meets the eye. For us, I speak about myself, city slickers that really have no feel for all of this. It really depends on how they process it and purify it, etc. But the Koya, what the Gemara is telling us is, the Mishnah told us the Koya is out for the Shemen, that was Taka, the best quality Shemen, and that's why Yoyev sent Taka to Tekoya, Isha Chachama, because people over there, this apparently not only the Eichus, but the Kamas were such that people were ruggled to take this top quality triple A Shemitzayas, and therefore Chacham Mitzuyim Behen, they are very smart. Okay, so now we're going to continue Nochamu Bet Abyssal Agarta. Turn it about. It says in the brachis that Moshe Rabbeinu gave at the end of the Zois HaBracha, which we lay in always in Simchas Torah, Ulasher Amar Baruch Mibonim Asher Yehi Ritzui Echad V'Toivel B'Shemen Raglei. What does this mean? Says the Gemara V'Toivel B'Shemen Raglei Zelchalko Shul Asher. Pasuk says Ulasher Amar Shemoishach Shemen Kemayim. Apparently they had so much oil over there that it was like a mayim, like a stream. Instead of looking for a river that was streaming with water, you had so much shemen, it was like a stream of shemen flowing throughout the land of Asher, to the point that when people would take off their shoes, instead of getting their feet muddy in mud with water and with earth, no, they had automatic shemen that softened the skin and made it nice and shiny and blah, blah, blah. So that's the Toivel B'Shemen Raglei. Took off your shoes, you didn't go in Toivel in water or in mud, but it was in Shemen Kemai. Omru, so now the boy tells us a story. Pamachas Nitzruchu Lehem Anshe Lutkaya B'Shemen. The Anshe Lutkaya, Lutkaya is the name of a place, they needed a lot of Shemen. Minu Lehem Pol Mustus Echad. Pol Mustus, as Rashi, is a Shliach who is an Oyved Kechotim, a Gentile Shliach. They made him an agent, and they said to him, Amru Loi, Leich Vavei Lonu, Shemen, we need huge quantities. You know how much? The Meya Reboi. A Reboi, as you know, is 10,000. Meya is 100 times 10,000. Simple arithmetic, 100 times 10,000. 10 times 10,000 is 100,000. 100 times 10,000 is 1,000,000. So we need Shemen, for which you're going to have to go and pay 1,000,000. It doesn't say 1,000,000 what? There's only 1,000,000 mona or 1,000,000 dinrim. In other words, a nice fortune of money. We needed a lot of shemen. So this Pumustis did not learn our Gemara, and he didn't know exactly where to get the shemen from. Hungry Yishalayim went to Yishalayim. Amaloi lech v'tzar. They're not here. Go to tzar. We normally think of tzar as being Tyre, T-Y-R-E, which is Lebanon. However, Rashi here says, no, it's a shchunas, in Eretz Yisrael itself, there was a collection of towns or cities in one area, and that was called Tzar. Okay, so he went there. Omroloi, they told him, no, you're in the wrong country. Not the wrong country, but you're in the wrong area. Lech l'gush chalav. Go to Gush Chalav. There you're going to go and get the best oil and tons of oil. Halach l'gush chalav, you went there. Omroloi, they told him, yo, you're at the right place. Lech etzel bloini l'sod halos. Go over there, Yanka lives on that field, down there, you know, 3 blocks away, go over there, and you'll find as much oil as you need. Umetzoi, so this Pumustus comes to that field, and he finds Yanka blimey, and he says, Oizik tacha zeisav. Oizik means to hoe, and to dig underneath the Zayas tree, to presumably for the more water, that when it rains, the water should collect around the Zayas, and the oizik could also be to try to prevent bugs or reptiles or whatever he was hoeing underneath your Zayas tree. Amaloi, so he now addresses the farmer, this Pliny. He says, Yesh lecha shemen memeya riboy shani tzorich. I need a huge amount of shemen for 1,000,000, 1,000,000. Do you have that? Amaloi, so the farmer didn't say yes or no, but he said, Hamteli, please give me a moment. Wait, achatayim melachti. Wait until I'm finished my malach. I'm a bit busy now. You know, this will get a little patient, and we'll deal with you shortly. So him said, wait, achatayim melachti. After he was finished, he says, okay, now we're not going to go and talk about selling here in the field. I have a storage place. Let's move on. So hifshul kelev lachoidev, all of his instruments that he was using in the farm, such as his hoe and his shovel and whatever else, he put that in a backpack and he wore that on his back. And now he was walking home, and as he was walking home, there were stones on roots. So what he did was, with his feet or with his hands, he pushed away the stones to make it easier to be able to walk there. You shouldn't have to walk on stones. And Omaloi, now when he finally arrives at his destination, he said to him, Yesh lecha shemen b'me'ari. You might remember I asked you this already an hour ago. Do you have a huge amount of shemen for a million? Kimduma ani shischoik sacha b'ayahudim. Looks like to me that the Yidin are making fun of me. Number one, they sent me all the way to this funny place, Kugush Chalav, which I never heard of before, because I went originally to Yerushalayim and then to Tzar. Who knows? And now they pointed out this Yidl, and it doesn't look like to me that he's a wealthy businessman. He looks like to me that he's a poor farmer, that he himself is doing the work in the fields, and he himself is pushing away the stones. Kibishagil Iro, and he finally arrives at his city, so then the Shifcha that was in the house comes out to greet this Ploini, and she brings with him a kumkumum. Kumkumum, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, is a hot water urn full of nice, warm, hot water, and she poured it out into a basin. He was able to go and wash his hands and his feet because he, you know, he dirtied himself throughout the day in the field. After he washed his feet with the warm water, then she brought out another sefel. Sefel again is a basin. Shulzov made out of gold. Malaya Shemin full of oil. And he went now and he toiveled his hands and his feet. Oh, that's the reason why we brought this story. After both the ploining together with his pomusnus after the ate a meal, he said, okay, now we're down to business. He went to his oil vat and he poured out, he measured out him, Shemen the mayor Rebai, Shemen worth 1 million. And then he told them, maybe you need even more. So he told them, you know, you're right. They told me 1 million as a minimum. I could use more. But I don't have any more money with me, and I'm already over my credit balance on my American Express card. So how am I going to go and pay for it? That's not a problem. If you want to take more than 1 million, you know, you paid me the 1 million already. You want to take another 180,000, you want to take more? Go and take. Vani elech imcha ve'eto domav. I don't trust you for that you're going to sell me the money. So I'm going to go and travel together with you back to Lutkia, and you'll pay me on the spot. So mother loy shem bishmoina osaribai. And now we added to the original 1 million another 18 times 10,000, which means for another 180,000 over and above the original 1 million. Omru, they said about this story that now who is going to go and transport all of this oil? Obviously, the two of them together could not transport all that. They had to go to every rent a donkey and rent a mule and rent a horse, avis and herds and all the others in Eretz Yisrael, that they didn't leave over one vehicle, not vehicle, but animal that they didn't rent. When they finally arrived at Lutkia, the cult said, they all said, wow! We never thought you'd be so successful, and you brought a huge amount shkoyach, and they went to Meiragamtza parade. So he said to them, Loi li kotsuni, don't go and thank me and give me all the accolades. Rather, you see this Yidl over here who looks like a poor guy. Shemodeli Shemen the Meir Riba, he is the one that measured out the 1 million. And in addition to that, the Harei, and even went and lent me on credit the additional 180,000, which we got to pay. With this, we have fulfilled what it says in the Pasuk. There's a Pasuk in Mishlei. Yesh mis asher v'ein kol, mis roishesh v'hoin rav. Yesh mis asher is a person who makes himself as if he's wealthy. He spends $1 million on a chasana, and he doesn't own any money, but rather he borrowed it from people, and he's never going to go and pay back the loans. So Mishashi, he wants to go and show off. I'm a He makes this huge chasana, and he spends tons of money, but Lamasa, he doesn't have it. He just wants to have that reputation as being a great oisha. And then you have a misroishish. You have a person who walks around almost like a rush. Rush means a beggar. Not mamish like a beggar, but he walks around, you know, plain clothing, nothing special, nothing up. Vohin rav, and he has a huge fortune. And that's what we could say about this Pliny. that he went and conducted himself with great modesty. He didn't go and show off, he's a Pekreiser Oisha. And that's why the Pumusta says, they're probably laughing at me, how could this apparent only the Evyon, he's going to give me a million? Oh, now he gave him a million. He gave me an extra 180,000. Bottom line, we learned from this Gemara, tremendous Musa Haskel, that a person at Baruch Hashem, that he has wealth, he shouldn't flaunt the wealth, rather he should conduct himself with a degree of modesty. Have a wonderful...
Kol HaLashon, a whole world of quality content.